That was awesome. So only two people liked it? Amen. I'm just overjoyed. I tell people, you got to be here on Sunday morning because you never know what's going to happen. Jesus is always going to show up. We know that. But what is Jesus going to do today? That's got to be like your heart's cry. I got to get to Calvary, not because Jesus isn't in you. He dwells inside of you. We know that. But there's nothing like being in the body of Christ and just being here. Hey, Jesus, what are you going to do today? Because I want to be a part of that. And I just want to thank our young people. Because our young people are... I just feel our church is amazing, and I brag about our church a lot because this church is amazing because God built a beautiful church. But I just want to say you continue to pray for our young people because they are an amazing group of people that are hungry for Jesus. I have never worked with a group of young people that honor God and actually honor our leadership, my wife and I. And so this isn't just a thank you to our young people, it's a thank you to the parents in this church. I want it to sink in because not every church has that. They just don't. I'm very, very honored. My wife and I talk about it all the time. Bear with me. We talk it all the time because we've been in church for many, many years. We know we've been around church. And there's nothing like a church that is hungry for Jesus. And I want you to, I just want you to continue to pray because our young people could be doing a lot of other things with their life, but they chose to come here and serve Jesus. And that's the other generation right there that's screaming. That's going to be back here doing the same thing. This is an awesome church. It's an awesome church. And I just want to say thank you, young people, because you're in a critical time in your life where you have to make a lot of decisions in transition, and you're putting Jesus first. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I thank the parents because I know that you've been on your knees for many, many, many years to see this. So it's not just the young people. It's a generational church that says we all want to serve God. That's why we're here. Hallelujah. Man, sometimes I think we've reached it, and then there's always on a Sunday that comes up and says, we haven't even reached it yet. There's more of Jesus. I love that. I love that. Hey, why Christmas? If you were here last week, we talked about why Christmas. And so this morning, we're gonna talk about why Christmas again. And the title of the message is, It Reveals True Worship. Man, when I started studying this about Christmas and about the birth of Jesus, there's a lot of myths out there. There's a lot of things that we talk about and say, and some of it isn't even in Scripture. But over the years, we've come to believe certain things. And one of the things I want to share today is, I never saw it like this, that why Christmas, it reveals worship. True worship is going the distance with God. See, we could have just sang a couple songs and sat down. But true worship is, I'm hanging in there because God wants to speak to us. I'm hanging in there because God's doing something. That's true worship. We have to go the distance with God. In the story of Christmas, we will see what it takes to experience intimate worship. See, His presence, Jesus, God, came into the world. People began to show up to worship Him because they wanted to be in His presence. Do we want to be in His presence? Because when we talk about the wise men, we're going to speak on that out of Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to give a little background. They wanted to be in the presence of God. They just didn't get on there, because as I studied this, from the country they came from, they would have been horses and not camels, but doesn't matter which one they come riding on. But they wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to see this God. They wanted to be in the presence of God. And so I asked some of the questions today. Do we want to be in his presence? Does our worship of God cost us something? Because if you're going to worship God, it is going to cost you something. So my first point in this story, let's read the story first. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, it doesn't say three, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and are by no means least among the rulers, or the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. We're going to stop right there. So the first thing that when we read about this, we're going to learn about the wise men, that they sacrificed. Worship will cost you something. There will be a sacrifice to worship God. So the number one point this morning in revealing true worship, it's going to be a sacrifice. Definitely. What are we giving up to truly spend time with Jesus? What are we giving up? Because if he's just in a routine, then you're not worshiping, you're not giving up anything. It's not costing you anything. You're just checking off a box. It's 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. I'm going to read a couple scriptures. But it will cost you something. Because when these wise men came, they said they traveled from the east. And here's a little background on them. These wise men were called magis. They worked closely with kings. They did a lot of astrology. They read the stars, and they were all into that. They studied the alignments of the stars, and they were from royalty. They were very rich and high in status. They traveled, when I did the research, they would have traveled 500 to 1,000 miles. It would have taken them at least up to almost 2 years. Think about that. There's a cost to worship. And so they have been studying the stars, and then this one star was the one that they felt was leading them to the Messiah. These men had been searching for a long, hard time. And I ask you and I today, what does it cost you to worship? These guys were going to go. These guys have been seeing that, they've heard it, they've heard that the Messiah was coming, and they're into the stars and alignment, and they work with kings, and when kings and rulers need answers to questions or dreams, that's kind of what magis would be a part of doing. And so, you know, what did they do? Why did they do this? Why? They had everything. They were close to kings. They had, we're going to read, they had treasures and they had prestige. These wise men had everything. They had education. They had wealth. They had prosperity. They had power. They were with King Herod when they came into Jerusalem. You just don't walk into King Herod's kingdom. They had wealth, because when we read, it says they opened up their treasures. Now think about this. They had to have treasures to take them 2 years to get there. They had to have enough treasures to get them 2 years back. And then they had to have a few more treasures just in case something happened. They were wealthy. They had everything. Why did they want to search out and worship this God? They had everything the world could offer, but there was something missing in their lives. Isn't that the way it is today? You know, I talk to people all the time. You know, I have everything, but I have nothing. Have you talked to people like that? I have everything, but I still have nothing. They had a spiritual hunger that drove them to the highest goal. They were seeking the King of Kings, seeking to find Him, seeking to know Him, seeking to get close to Him, seeking to worship Him. It's a sacrifice. When I was reading this, I was saying, wow, I don't know if I would have traveled 2 years. I don't know if I would have taken all my treasures and made sure I had enough, not just to get there, but we're going to read, to give to Jesus. That's a sacrifice. Let's go back to verse 3. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where's Christ was to be born? And they told him in Bethlehem of Judea, where it was written. He was reading out of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. That's what he was doing. Now, so here we go. Now, here's these wise men. They travel all this way. And they get to Jerusalem because that's where a king would be born. And he's not there. Can you imagine traveling all that way and they say, he's not there? Can you imagine, like, you go on vacation? Because I've done this before. You go someplace and they say, you're in the wrong place. You know, you got to turn around. Sometimes you just want to give up. Now, these guys have been doing this for a couple years. But with all of that effort, they still had not found him. It would have been so easy for them to give up. Man, their feet must have hurt. The camels or horses must have been kind of like a little weary. And when they get there, and it's like, we're going to have to check. Let's go find the scrolls. Let's go find the scriptures because let's go find where he is. Man, we as a generation would have given up. We're a microwave generation. We're a mall mentality. If I can't go one place and get everything right then I'm not going. Microwave. I can't have it in 2 minutes. I did a little research. These kids on their iPads and iPhones, if they're on YouTube or some video, they did statistics. If it goes longer than almost up to 2 minutes, they shut it off, go to the next one. 2 minutes is their attention span. You know what? I found myself doing the same thing. I'd find myself on something and I'd go, oh, here's an ad coming up. Oh, forget, I'm going to the next thing. I don't even finish it. I don't care how good it is. I'm not waiting. But these guys, they went someplace where they thought Jesus would be. They still isn't there. They traveled all this time and they said, we're still going to go. It's a sacrifice. And then the second thing, expectation. How many times have you heard me say, we need to come to Calvary Gospel with a spirit of expectation? Like coming in this morning when I was coming into my office and I heard all this going on up here, it's like, man, my heart melted. Because I'm coming expecting Jesus to do something every time I walk in this building. Every time. If we're in our prayer group, I'm expecting him to do something. I'm expecting him to speak to us. I'm expecting him to share his life with us. I'm expecting him to manifest his glory. Expectation. They came expecting something to happen when they entered the presence of the king. It had been passed down for hundreds of years about this Messiah. They've traveled thousands of miles to get into his presence to worship him. If they made that much effort to get to his presence, how much effort can we make just to come into the house of the Lord? Come expecting. Come expecting. What is the effort we are making? Do we have a spirit of expectation? What are you expecting when you come here on a Sunday morning? What are you expecting when you come out on Wednesday night? Hey, Elevate. Hey, Sprout. What are you expecting when you walk in this building on Saturday night? What are you expecting? Do you have a spirit of expectation? They did. They were expecting something when they walked into the presence of this Jesus. A spirit of expectation, it comes on Friday night because Saturday night is Elevate and Sprout. Is your expectation, like, for these young people, like, oh, man, school's out, the weekend's here, it's Friday night, and I am coming expecting because I know one more day, 24 hours, I get to go worship. I get to go be with Elevate. I get to go be with Sprout. I get to go be with Jesus. I get to go be with my friends. I'm wondering, children, youth, all right, Friday night, do you get home and go, oh, Mom, Dad, I can't wait. I have a spirit of expectation for Saturday night. Thursday night, do you have a spirit of expectation for Sunday morning? Hey, it's Thursday night. I'm getting ready for Sunday morning. Spirit of expectation. Hey, it's Tuesday. Oh, can't wait. Wednesday is prayer night from 6:30 to 7:30, 1 hour. It's Tuesday night. I got 24 more hours. I get to go to Calvary Gospel and pray. Do you have a spirit of expectation? Now, you can enter his presence everywhere and anywhere, but there's something different about coming into the body of Christ. I love coming into the body of Christ. Just to be encouraged, just to be able to worship with my brothers and sisters. That spirit of expectation. Yes, you can worship at home in your prayer closet. That's why when we come to Wednesday night prayer or any time of prayer, I know what their prayer closets sound like because it sounds like that on Wednesday night. That's why I say sometimes here on a Sunday morning, hey, I've heard you in your prayer closet on Wednesday night. Spirit of expectation. True worship comes with a cost. True worship starts expecting something. And the third thing, it's expressive worship. True worship is expressive. Just like what we did today. You know, we're worshiping, they're worshiping, and I would love someday, this is what I always pray for, that the congregation would overtake the worship team so strongly that they lay down their instruments and expect something from you. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm up here worshiping, and all of a sudden, Dina stops playing. Why? Because the congregation has taken over. See, we sometimes come here, and I was getting a little worried at the beginning. I was going to come up and say, hey, don't think this is a performance. It's not. We prayed before we came out, and I said, you guys are singing to an audience of one, Jesus. Jesus. That's all you're doing. My prayer is that this worship team someday just stop playing because they can't hear themselves. And they got all the speakers in their ears now. But the congregation, second chapter of Acts, there's a roar, there's a sound coming. Expressive worship. So Matthew, in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Listen to this. Rejoiced with exceedingly, with great joy. Now, think about that. Do we rejoice exceedingly? Now, do we rejoice? Then do we rejoice exceedingly? Then do we rejoice greatly with joy? Think about that. Or do we come in here and say, man, it's a half hour of the band, and we're just going to kind of sit back and enjoy the music? I don't think that's what these guys were doing. These guys came in here, and it's right there. Rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Expressive worship. See, Psalms 47:1, I'm going to read a few scriptures. It says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Is that it? Yeah. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 134:2. Lift up your hands in the church, in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. I added the church. That's where we are. Expressive worship. Now, I'm not telling you to worship like me. I'm just saying, what does the Bible say for us that we have the freedom to do? We have the freedom to worship. Expressive worship is true worship. If God, if the creator of the universe, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you, is in you, how could you not expressively worship God? Now, come on. I'm not saying you have to dance like me. I'm not saying you have to shout like me. I'm not saying you have to be anything like me. What I'm saying is if the Holy Spirit is in you and moving through you, it is going to shake you at least a little. You might even move a little. You know, when I grew up, they called it the Holy Spirit shuffle or the... you're going to do something. You're going to do something. I know when I'm home, man, I'm rejoicing. Sometimes I rejoice. Expressive worship. That's all I'm saying. If the Holy Spirit is in you, he's doing something. Let him do it. Let him do it. How much more freedom would it be to express yourself? Thank you for coming up and praying. I asked her to do that right on the spot. And she's always good about saying no first and then yes. I love her. Thank you. Young people, these guys know, that the reason why they're here, sitting up here, not because I need a fan club, because I know God's doing something in their life, and I want them to be available to hear from God and saying, Pastor, God's given me a word. Because if they're still sitting in the back, they would never show up up front. That's why they're here. And that's any different than anybody else sitting in the sanctuary. God wants to speak to you. And so, expressive worship, what is he doing in you? Man, these guys traveled. They went the distance. And we're going to see what expressive worship, what they've done. Why did the wise men have such great joy? They were getting closer and closer to the king. Man, when you're getting closer and closer to the king, it must feel like something different in your life. The closer we get to Jesus, the happier we will be. See, God will give us real joy, eternal joy, joy that the world can never take away. This doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. This doesn't mean we're not going to be discouraged. This doesn't mean we're not going to have seasons of trials. I work with people all the time that call me and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going through something. And then I get texts where people say, Pastor, thank you for praying. You know, the test came back negative. And, you know, thank you for your prayers. And we're going to, you know, God is did a miracle. And when you get close to God, he's doing something in your life. The more we worship the Lord, the more our hearts will overflow with joy. You know, people say, how do I have the joy of the Lord? I say, are you in the presence of the Lord? Because where's joy going to come from? If you're not in the presence of the Lord and you say, I can't find joy, well, it's like, okay, well, get in the presence of Jesus because he's right there. Open yourself up. Verse 11. In verse 11, it says, they fell down and worshiped him, then opening their treasures. Expressive worship. They fell down. Do you know what that word fell down means? I love always looking up these words in the Greek or Hebrew, whatever it may be. It gives us a better understanding of what this word really means. That word fell down means to be thrust down from a high place, to fall down violently and be shattered. Okay? Think about that. Think about that. Throwing down, being shattered, when they're in the presence of God. That's how they felt. They were shattered in his presence. So my question is, are we shattered in his presence? That's what they were. And I don't even know, we don't even know from Scripture if they were believers. They were magis. They were astrologers. They were looking at the stars and lining the stars. They were people that if you read in Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar would have a dream and he couldn't interpret it, he'd call in all the magicians and the magis. You think about this. You think about who Jesus is using to worship him. Come on, this is getting a little like, I thought Jesus had to have only the pastor or the perfect elder. He called in magis. Think about that. They were shattered in his presence. Are we shattered in his presence? The Bible says that one day every knee shall bow. All of us will fall down in the presence of God. Right? Every knee shall bow. Every millionaire, every Hollywood elite, every superstar athlete, every atheist, every businessman, every homeless man, every prostitute, every good person, every religious person, all will fall down in his presence. All. And then it says, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue. Every tongue. Man. That word worship, when it says they fell down in worship, it means come towards to kiss. And the word in the Greek, which I can never, I wish I could speak Greek, I wish I could speak these words. It would give a better way to explain it. But I can't even speak. I speak English pretty good, but that's about it. I couldn't speak Greek and Hebrew. But the word is derived, the word for worship, it's derived from two words. And the meaning of those two words is the example of a dog licking his master's hand. Now, you people that have pets, I had a dog. You know when they get happy when you come home? They're like, oh, daddy's home. You know, daddy's home, mommy's home. And they just run at you and just lick you all over. Now, that's kind of a weird analogy of these wise men falling down shattered and worshiping with the example of a dog licking its master's hands or face or whatever. Think about that. That's worship. That's intimate. That's close. Man, we had a dog, and she was just like that, man. She was in love with me. She was in love with me. And my kids and wife would say, man, you're in love with this guy, you know? And I couldn't even, she was in love with me so much that if I got close to my wife and started to hug her or kiss her, she would come in and growl at her. I didn't train her to do that. I did not train her. Some people said, man, you must have trained her to do that. No, I did not. But she was so intimate with me. I want you to think about that. Are you that intimate with Jesus? I just thought of this. It's not in my notes. Are you so intimate with Jesus that the devil growls at you because of your intimacy with the Father? I hate that. If the devil's not growling at you or I, we need to think about that. Because when Maya, our dog, saw us in an affectionate way, it was her time to say no, 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 no. Do you hear the enemy growling when you are shattered in the presence of Jesus? Just a question. Extravagant worship. It says, when they had opened their treasures. This was 3 or 4 year journey. They were back. They had to have enough, like I said, to go, to come back and have a little extra. It was not their leftovers that they gave Jesus. Are we giving Jesus our leftovers in our worship? Or are we extravagant in our worship? Because it wasn't their leftovers. They had enough to go. They had enough to come back. They had enough in case of an emergency. And they had enough for Jesus. I ask us, church, are we giving Jesus our leftovers because we needed it for something else? My love for the house, my love for relationships, my love for my job, my love for my retirement. And Jesus, I have a little bit left over to spend some time with you. They didn't do that. Extravagant worship. They bought enough. They brought enough to get there and back and more. That word treasure means the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. Luke 12:34 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're not going to go on that. It's a whole other sermon. But gold represented royalty. Frankincense represented divinity, divine. Frankincense was like an incense which they offered in their prayers up to God. Myrrh represented humanity. It was used for burial. These gifts were humanity, divinity, and royalty, and they didn't even know it, given to the King of Kings. And it says they worshiped him in verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream, divinely by God, that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. I want you to get this. It says in the scriptures that when they first came, they didn't know where he was, right? They didn't know where he was. They go to where he think a king should be born. And so King Herod has to look back in the scriptures and say, well, let's go look and see where he's going to be. Before they worshiped, before they entered Jesus' presence, they had to go to other people to find out where Jesus was. Catch this, right? They didn't know. But after they entered his presence, God spoke to them directly. Ooh, Pastor Tom, how can I hear from God? I don't know. Maybe get in his presence. Before, they didn't know where he was, even following the star. And then when you read the scripture, it says the star stopped because why didn't the star just go to Bethlehem? I don't know. But Jesus had a reason. So they go to King Herod, and he's not there. And they say, okay, where is he? And they had to ask a human. They had to go read the scripture. But after they spend time in his presence, now all of a sudden God says, I'm going to warn you not to go back. God wants to speak to us, but it's when we enter his presence. You can't have 101 things going on in your life and then come to me and say, I don't hear from Jesus. It's not going to happen. I don't have time for Jesus. I'm giving him my leftovers. Well, then you may not hear his voice clearly. God wants to speak to us, but it's in his presence. Get in his presence. True worship is in his presence. That may look different for everyone, but in his presence doesn't look different. It's only one way you can do that. Get in his presence. So here's the takeaways, three of them. Could I have the worship team come back up, and we're going to close. Takeaways. True worship. First thing is, what do you seek? Your level of joy in life is directly related to what you seek. The Magi sought the Savior so they could worship him. What do you seek, church? What do you seek? They sought the Savior. Is the Savior of the world, or is it the things of the world? What are you expecting? What do you seek after? Because we can seek after the things of the world, but never seek after the Savior of the world. I want you to start off with joy. That's the first song, and then go into worthy. We're going to worship for a couple songs. We're going to do what God has asked us to do. To come to worship the Father. So what do you seek? Second thing is, where do you look? Your level of joy in life is directly related to where you look. They came to Jerusalem because that's where a king would be found. Are we missing Jesus because you are looking where you think he should be found? Oh, I think Jesus should be here. How come he's not? Well, because that's not where he's going to be found. Where do you look? Jesus ate with sinners. He allowed a prostitute to wash his feet with her tears. An unclean woman with a disease in the Old Testament law said she should have been stoned if she touched anyone, and she was made whole when she touched Jesus. Where do you want to find Jesus? Where are you looking? There's a song out there, right? It says, looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on, are we looking for love, who's Jesus, in all the wrong places? Well, I think Jesus should be here. He must be in the church. He would never be out there in the world. He would never be with the prostitute. He'd never be with the homeless. He never would be with that arrogant millionaire who has robbed people, who has cheated people. I'm not going to find Jesus there. But man, if we lived in Jesus' time, that's where he was. Where do you look? And what do you give? Your level of joy in life is directly related to what you give. They brought their best. Do you bring your best when you come to worship? They gave gifts that represented who God was: royalty, divinity, and humanity. And this is what I'm going to end with. And then we're going to stand, we're going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to go have some coffee. They gave gifts which represented God. What gifts would make God happy that represent him? What gifts can you give God that would represent him? I'm going to give you just three of them. There's many, many more. Give the gift of love and kindness to your friends and family. Wow. That'd be an awesome gift. The gift of serving to those who are in need or hurting. Oh, you want me to go give to people who don't give back to me? Who don't like me? And the gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt us. Because those are all Jesus. Those are the gifts he's looking for us to give back to him in this world. Let's all stand. And my last statement is, go bring back that up, that last statement. Why not consider giving yourself? This is what we're going to do right now. We're going to give ourselves to Jesus. We're going to worship with the worshipers. We're giving ourselves to Jesus. So let's just sing. Let's just take this time to meditate on this word and say, Lord, true worship, I understand now, is a lot more than me just giving you 10 minutes. It's me giving you my life. So let's just worship him for a couple songs. Hallelujah. Lord. Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you, God. We want to be shattered in your presence, not just made whole. Like, Lord, we just want to be in your presence and fall down at your knees and fall down at your feet and Lord, just to worship you. Father, give us a new understanding of true worship this morning. Like the wise men when they came, they went the distance. They didn't give up. They were expressive. They were extravagant. They came expecting, Lord, that we would be a church with a spirit of expectation. Lord, do more. Be bigger. Do more miracles. Manifest yourself in this place and in our cities and in us. In us and through us and among us. Lord, I say thank you, Father. We're not happy with just doing the same thing, but we are happy spending time with you. Reveal yourself more and more to us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, church. Fellowship, greet someone you don't know. Have a cup of coffee. Hallelujah.
Pass.
Take your microphone.
Test. This is really loud.
Just hold it a little.
Do you want to
want to sing week after the next one, after Christmas, or do you want to sing it next week?
Not next week.
Yeah, I don't think
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do the week after. Because we need more practice. Okay, let's do it again.
One more time, okay.
Oh, not just one more time. We need to practice it. Last time they interrupted us. You move microphones, they sometimes do that. Okay, let's practice as much as possible. So
I'll just like move over a little.
Say nice and loud, like full voice.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light through us who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star.
Place where Jesus lay.
Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining around to the glory dawn. And give us a light to light the way onto the place.
Beautiful star of Bethlehem.
us a lot to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory till the crown is won. For Jesus is now their star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star.